Who loves having discussing finances? Everybody does, right? Everybody, raise a hand. Come on. Everybody likes talking about finances, right? Especially when it comes to biblical ideas about finances. And I had promised you a few weeks ago that I really felt like I was saying, you need to talk about finances, because I don't do that an awful lot. I'm not one of those pastors that talks about money all the time, right? But what I realize is that finances have a way of getting a hold of us in a worldly way that keeps us from living our spiritual purposes. And so if we don't address the things that are coming up against as strongholds in our life, then we're never going to get free of those things. And so I really wanted to find a message that would resonate with you and teach you and encourage you in a simple way to make simple changes in your life that could have amazing impact. And so I wanted to invite you to this Making Change sermon series. And I'm doing this not only for those people here, but I want to welcome the people on Unshackled TV, right? We have people that are joining us each and every week online. And I realized that I almost never talk to the people that are there. It was something that Tom said to me. He goes, Debbie, you need to address those people because they're all there. And so we are part of a greater church, a larger church, when those that are watching online join us. And so we welcome you to this sermon series as well. And so we're going to, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about four things. And I'm going to repeat them, and you're going to repeat them with me so that you remember what we're going to talk about, all right? It's a little chilly in here if you're watching online. I hope you're warm, but it's a little chilly in this environment right here. And so we're going to encourage you to participate and raise your body temperature, amen? So the first week is less is more. Repeat after me, less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. All right, let's try it again. Ready? Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. And tomorrow matters. All right, one more time for the Holy Ghost. Less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. Tomorrow matters. All right, amen. All right, this is what we're going to talk about. And so the first week, we're going to talk about what? Less is more. Yeah! Less is more, less is more, less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Now, as you know, we have three kids. Now, let me jump back a little bit. Okay, so less is more. If we believe that less is more, the world would tell us that more is better. Right? You've probably heard this yourself. It probably starts right in the Garden of Eden, right? We always want more of what we don't have. For some reason, there's always this desire to have more of what we don't have. If you think about the Garden of Eden, we have Adam and Eve. They are placed into this utopian kind of existence where they have everything they could possibly need, including the presence of God. And yet there's this one thing that they cannot have. And what happens? The one little thing that they cannot have becomes the obsession that destroys everything. So we are taught in some way that if one is good, two is better, right? If I have one French fry, well, two is better. And if it's a bag of Lay's potato chips, it's probably the whole thing, right? If I have one car, well, two is better. If I have one child, well, maybe three is better. Right? We're always after more money, more clothes, more and more stuff. Right? Less is more. Say it again. Good. So I have three kids. I will not identify the child that I'm now going to talk about. One of my children enjoys sweets. A lot of sweets. And when given the opportunity and a bankroll when they go to the movie theater, here's enough money for a ticket and something from the snack bar. Said child might not just get one candy, but will probably end up getting two candies and a very large frozen drink. And what happens? What do you think would happen? So one little bit or one little bag of candies is probably okay, right? What happens when we overindulge, when we think that two or three or four might be better? Anybody? Oh, we might get sick. Do you think said child ever gets a stomach ache from indulging in too many sweets? I promise I wasn't going to identify you. That's why we need to learn that less is more. And so we have one verse that we're going to talk about just today, right? Because less is more. I would normally, in most of my sermons, I normally incorporate a lot of scripture, right? Because I don't want to preach my opinion or what I think about things. I want to preach God's word, right? The whole truth of God's word. Well, let me give you a scripture to hold on today. You ready? So I'm going to have you repeat after me a few times so you remember it. It's from Ecclesiastes 4:6, and it goes like this. Better one handful, say that, with tranquility, than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. All right. Better one handful with tranquility. You got it. You can get it. You can get it. Than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. All right. One more time for the Holy Ghost. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. All right, amen, right? Why is it better that we might have one handful, right? As opposed to our two handfuls full. Well, first, the scripture says that we have tranquility with one handful, right? We have one handful with tranquility. And when we go after filling the other one, that's when we're overworked, and it's a chasing after the wind. Has anybody ever tried to chase the wind? Is it a possibility? Probably not, right? So what scripture is telling us is that it virtually is impossible to have more and more because eventually you are chasing, like a dog chasing its tail. Anybody watch a dog chase its tail? Anybody have a dog that chases its tail? We do. It's very funny. It's very funny to watch. Anyway, so why is it better? All right, if I have my one hand full, I'll use this. This is my one hand full because I have the mic. I have one hand full, then I have a hand free to what? To maybe help somebody else, all right? I have a hand full over here, but a hand free to help somebody else. If I have one hand full, I have a hand that's available to give to somebody that might be in need. If I have one hand full, I have a hand that's available to encourage somebody, to come along somebody, right? So it's always good to have one hand available. You also have a hand available to receive from God and then to give out on the other side. So less is more, less of what doesn't matter. So if I gave you an exercise and I said, if you were to define the top three things that truly matter in your life, just think about that as I talk for the next few minutes. I had done a Facebook survey in preparation for today's message. You know, if you knew you only have a certain amount of time to live, and honestly, that's all of us, right? We're only given a certain amount of days in this life. If you only knew that you had a short amount of time, what would become the most important thing to you? And that's kind of how we answer this question. What are the top three things in your life? If you were to just meditate on that and figure out what are the most important things in your life, what are the most important things? I'll tell you what nobody said. No one answered the amount of money I have in my bank account. Nobody said my Adidas sportswear. Nobody said the latest iPhone I just got and slept out on the street to buy. Nobody said the amount of Instagram followers I said, and nobody even mentioned my presidential candidate. Right? What are the things that are important? Jesus even said, your life does not consist of the abundance of your possessions. So the things that are more important are the things that are intangible, the things that are not what you're going to acquire through money anyway. It's relationships. It's experiences. Those are the things that matter, and those are the things that everybody said. I would spend more time with my family. I would make more friends. I would spend more time traveling and experiencing things. Those are the intangible, and those are the things that are most important. So I'm going to give you three things, 3 points, 3 ideas to focus on when we talk about less is more. Say less is more. All right? Better is one hand with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. All right? Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is to cut back. Everybody say cut back. Cut back. That's point one. Now, I want to give you an example of how our lives have changed. If you know me at all, you know that I love antique homes. I like antiques in general, but I just love antique homes. And before we moved to Ashby, we lived in my grandparents' home, and it was built in 1780. Now, the one we live in now, 1783. I must have a thing for that particular time period. But one of the things you notice when you live in an older home, especially an older, small farmhouse that was built in the middle of nowhere, that there are no closets. No closets. And the ones that we did have were shallow. Like if I were to show you the depth, you couldn't fit a hanger in it. You couldn't fit a shelf in it. You couldn't put anything in it. It was kind of crazy. We tried to put hangers in it and hang everything kind of like on an angle and then shut the door because it wasn't like a real closet. And there certainly isn't a lot of attic space, and there isn't a lot of basement space because that's where you kept your food, right? What things are important, the things that are necessary for existence. And so in this house reflected the things that are important to a certain society, a certain snapshot in time. You know, those people that lived in the home before we had it probably had, you know, if you were a man, you probably had one suit, maybe. You had your work pants and your work shirt and maybe one of each and a pair of shoes. You know, and the ladies, they wore like the same dress. You know why they had aprons? Because their dresses were the same all the time, and they changed the apron and wash out the apron because they didn't change their clothes. They weren't obsessed with having more. They didn't even have cars. They may or may not have even had a horse to get to the next town. They lived and they experienced life to the full because they didn't have, nor did they need, stuff. Now jump forward. What does it look like when we build homes and we think about that now? We build homes with walk-in closets. Not just a simple closet where I can put my clothes, but now it's a walk-in closet, and I probably have multitude of pairs of shoes. Now I'm going to tell you, when I was preparing this message today, I got slapped upside the head. Okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. Slapped upside. So, and I know I say this a lot. Before I come before you on a Sunday morning, God has done a work in me, okay? And that's what happens with all of these. So, we build houses with walk-in closets, right? And then we might not even have enough room in our walk-in closets. The next thing that we're going to do is then fill our attics full of stuff. And then we probably have so many things that we might even have a house that has a two-car garage. But I know people that have a two-car garage and their cars aren't even in it. Why? Because the garage has stuff. We have a barn full of stuff. Am I right? Stuff, stuff, stuff. So I'm not pointing fingers. Put in this way. And then there's a whole other business of people that rent you space for the stuff that you can't quite possibly fit in your home. We have become a culture that is obsessed with stuff. And then we rent a space and put it in there, and you probably don't even know what's in there, right? So, do you think we can cut back? Do you think there are things in our lives where we can cut back? Less is more. Life does not consist in the abundance of stuff. We want less stuff and more friends. Right? Less stuff and more time with our family. Less stuff and more experiences. Life is for the experiencing, right? Less stuff. Number two, clear out. Okay, this is where I got the double. Clear out. Because if we're going to cut back and get rid of our stuff, we need to clear out as if our lives depended on it. And let me tell you, it does. If you have an abundance of stuff, think about it. I was thinking about this morning, the amount of stuff that we have. And as it begins to clutter in your home and take up space that you would normally want to use for working and processing and thinking and enjoying your home, what does that do to your energy level? What does it do to your anxiety, your stress level, right? When we have all this stuff and it's clutter, how is your soul? For me, my kids can attest, I get all whacked out when everything is too cluttered and too busy and whatever. I need an uncluttered existence in order for me to have peace. So we clear out because our souls depend on it, right? Now, it is difficult for a lot of people to give up things, right? For a couple of reasons. One of them is that maybe you didn't grow up with much. Some people have grown up with nothing. And when they have the opportunity to have things, there's a value put on them that's hard to let go of. You know, I bought this thing, and because I never really had anything, I don't want to throw it away. Right? I might need it again. Somebody might need it again. I'm going to hold on to it because I value its value. And I don't want to waste. You know, when you grow up with nothing. And so I respect that, but it doesn't change the need to cut back. The other part is sometimes it's sentimental. This is where I lose it. Okay? I have a few china sets from my grandmother. I have things, because my dad died when I was only 22, I have things that my dad gave me. I have sentimental things, wedding presents. I might never use said wedding presents, but I can say, so-and-so gave this to me. This was a wedding present. And so it has a sentimental value. So, I don't know if you've heard of Craig Groeschel, but he does Life Church. And he had suggested, he had read this book on organizing. And one of the tips that was in the book seems a little crazy, but this is one of the ways to deal with the things that you don't really quite want to get rid of, even though you know you've never touched it in like 20 years, right? Is that you honor the thing and then send it down the road. So you might say, glass crystal ball or bowl that somebody gave me for my wedding. I don't quite know what to do with this glass crystal bowl. It's beautiful, and it's just been sitting in my china cabinet for 20 years now. 23 years I have this bowl. You would say, thank you, crystal bowl, for the purpose that you had in my life. I want to thank you for that, and I want to send you on your way to be a blessing to somebody else. So it seems silly. Sometimes people are like bookophiles, right? I have a ton of books. I keep them because I go, I might read them again. I might read them again. Honestly, then I need to take the book and say, thank you, book, for all of the information that you gave me. You transformed me at a point in my time where I really needed to read this book. But honestly, you probably need to be a blessing to somebody else. And then send it on. Okay? Do you think we can do that? Do you think we can cut back? All right. And here's the thing, all right? And this probably has happened to you, right? This is when you know that you've got too much in your closet, right? And this, this probably happens to me too on Sunday morning. Here we go. Except that I was given this outfit when I went to Convoy of Hope. But here we go. You walk into the closet. Right? How many times have you looked at your closet and you've got nothing to wear, but you've got a rack of clothes and enough shoes to, does anybody remember Imelda Marcos? I was going to say to please Imelda Marcos. Okay, that dates me. I'm so sorry. And the thing is that the amount of things that we have is because we're overwhelmed, right? Overwhelmed with choices. So instead of having just a few things, if you, anybody ever been to the Slattery's in Fitchburg? If you open up their menu, Yes, which you think is awesome when you first get there. But what happens when you have so many choices? You can't decide. Now, you've been to a restaurant where they might have 10 things on the menu, and you're like, oh, I'll have that, right? Because the abundance of choices makes it difficult for us to actually make a decision, right? Have you ever turned on your TV, and you're flipping through Netflix? Come on, everybody, just confess right now. I'm binging on Netflix. Okay. So the thing about Netflix is that you have, there's so many new movies on, right? And then you go, ugh, I didn't want to watch any of those. I just don't like any of them, right? Now, if you had three choices, you'd probably pick one of the three and you'd be fine. But the fact is you have so many that you just can't even make a decision at all. How about your clothes, right? Maybe if we made the policy is that if I've not worn this particular piece of clothing in a year, do you think you need that piece of clothing? Are there other people that could tremendously be blessed if you would just release some of your clothes? Thank you, sweater. You have placed, you know, you've been a part of my life. You look good on me for a while, but I'm going to send you down the road. Thank you, pair of shoes. Thank you, pair of pants. What if we agreed to, when you get something, to give something? I got a new pair of pants. I'm going to get rid of another pair of pants. I got a pair of shoes. I'm going to give the shoes. I got a shirt. I'm going to give a shirt. I got some underwear. Okay, no. Right? My life does not consist in the abundance of my possessions. All right, so cut back. Say it. Clear out. And pay off. Now, this is just a little segue. I'm only going to talk about this briefly because we're going to go into this in detail next week, right? Because less is more. Stress is bad. Giving is good. And tomorrow matters. Okay, good. So stress is bad. So we're going to pay off. Scripture also says, now I know this is just for free, right? Borrower is servant to the lender. We don't want to be in debt, all right? How many people have ever heard this? I love being in debt. Debt makes me feel empowered. Debt makes me feel a sense of peace. Debt makes me feel a sense of control in my life. I love being in debt, right? Said no one ever. So debt, on the other hand, causes stress, causes worry, causes fear, right? There is nothing fun about debt, but I'll tell you what is fun is being debt-free. Is making, you know, we're going to do financial peace in January. I've just committed to that because you know what's going to happen? I'm going to do these 4 weeks and you're going to make some changes. And then what's coming up in December? Christmas! And you know what's going to happen? You're going to spend more than you should. So we are going to do in January, we're going to get right back on it and Dave Ramsey all over this, okay? He talks about being gazelle intense. And I'll talk more about this next week because when we talk about stress is bad and paying things off and getting out of debt, Tom and I have a testimony of what that looks like. When we began to be gazelle have gazelle intensity in paying off our debt. There is something to be said for paying off credit cards and then taking that payment and applying it to the next one and applying it to the next one. And then before you know it, you are out of debt. Hallelujah, right? Who here would like to be out of debt? That's not in, you know, there might be people that are out of debt already. But I'm telling you, it is a monkey on your back that you need to let go. So pay off, right? There's a lot of joy that comes with paying off that last credit card payment. Maybe a last car payment where you can say, I own this car. And it's not like me and Digital Credit Union, right? Like, and then maybe your no student loans or paying off your house, being gazelle intense and paying off everything so that you can have the peace of being debt-free, right? Better is a car that's paid off than a brand new car with a big honking payment. Amen? Better is to have a smaller house, right, than to fight in your marriage about how much money you're spending and having no financial margin. Better to have that margin so that we can help others that are in need, right? So less is more. And it doesn't mean that you can't have anything. That's not what I'm saying, right? You just have to be minimalist and get rid of everything in your life that gives you any joy. That is not what I'm saying. But it means that we are more focused on quality and not quantity. The going after stuff is a going after quantity and filling our lives with things that really have no importance, right? We go back to that list. What is important? Family, friends, time with people that are important to us, experiences. So we don't want to fill our lives with things, but you can enjoy maybe some things that are important to you, having a couple things that are really quality, right? It's better a little stuff that's nice and that's your own than a whole bunch of junk that owns you, right? Yes, Pastor Debbie, we love this message. Okay. All right, so repeat after me. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I know you've already been on a missions trip to Paris, but I was thinking about that too. When I speak with any of the missionaries that have been to any place that is a developing nation, more often what happens is there's a process that they might go through where they first are introduced to the culture, and there's a part of them that their heart breaks for that experience and these people that don't have anything. They don't have running water. They don't have shoes. They don't have what we have. And there's a certain kind of, you know, your heart breaks for that. And then after they spend the time in the culture, they witness things that you don't see here. Kids that are outside, kids that are engaged in playing with the simplest of things, but have joy and worship that is wild and abandoned with a love for a God that has met all their needs. Not all their wants, but all their needs. And I shared with you, when we went to Puerto Rico, it was the same kind of thing. It's a very impoverished island. And yet, one of the most incredible experiences for me was to attend worship on that Sunday morning, to be in a place where we didn't understand a thing they were saying. But to know that their hearts were overflowing with a love of God that we don't see here. Gloria a Dios, glory to God, constantly on their lips and in a neighborhood that was broken down and impoverished, but it didn't matter. They love the Lord. It is not what we own that makes a difference. Your life is too valuable, your calling too great, and your God is too good to waste your life on meaningless things. Better is one handful and children that you love and they love you. Better is one handful and a few intimate friendships. Better is one handful and vacation memories with with the people that mean the most to you. Better is one handful and a good marriage, one where you're still looking in the same direction and not in opposite directions. Better is one handful with the ability to make a difference in somebody else's life with what you've been blessed with. Better is one handful and a passion for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, O Lord, for this word even now, O God. That, God, there is so much more that you want for us, God, and we are a society that is consumed with consuming, and that we think that there is an answer to what we need in the quantity of things we possess and acquire. And God, your word tells us that you are our all in all. You are all that we could possibly need. And so, God, in this place, Lord, I pray that your spirit would even touch those that are gathered in this room and those that are watching online, God, that they would recognize those areas in their life where they need to clear out, to cut back, to remove the debt in their lives so that they can be wholly focused on you. And God, I'm very much aware that the most important thing is that understanding that you have created us. You have created us with a God-sized hole in our hearts. And that without a relationship with you, we are chasing after the wind. That, God, we are a people that try to fill that with so many other things. And that it's a place only you can fill. And that satisfaction that comes from knowing you to having a relationship with you fills that void that we so desperately need filled. And then we can be at peace, no longer searching after those things that mean nothing, but exulting in those things that do, in family and in friends, experiences, but primarily that relationship with you that is most important. And so, Lord, for those people that need to begin or recommit even, God, to that relationship, that maybe that hole that you had filled once upon a time in their lives, God, has begun to crack and begin to become a void again, that it needs to be just shorn up and solidified and filled and healed with your presence. I just invite everybody to pray with me today before we close, that we would recommit just like the day that you received Christ as Savior. And if you're here in this place and you never have and this is the first time that you pray, please talk to me after this. But if you would just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, today I surrender my life to you, asking Jesus to forgive me, to save me, to make me new, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, so I may serve you the rest of my days. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And if you're all in agreement, God's people would say, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give God a clap offering, amen? Woo. We rejoice with you today. Ready? Cut back. Clear out, pay off, right? Less is more. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, church.